Ooh, the Holy Spirit is so mighty and he's so powerful and he's God and he's taken residence within your heart. But I want to say this at the same time, the Holy Spirit is the easiest person to ignore.
Pastor Ray Bentley wants us to open to the Spirit's work in our lives.
The same Holy Spirit that came upon Solomon or that came upon David, now as a believer, has come inside of you.
Spread the news. All of his people coming bow before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. We know our own limitations all too well. God knows them too. But he also knows our potential. And he knows how much we can accomplish for his kingdom when we're empowered by his Spirit. Today, from our studies in Numbers, we'll get some good encouragement toward maximizing our impact. Let's listen.
Let's open our Bibles to Numbers chapter 8, verse 1. Everything from, Numbers 1 through Chapter 10 is good, good, good. God revealed his glory, through his presence through the burning bush to Moses, speaking to him. God reveals his glory in a cloud. They build the tabernacle. They're delivered from Egypt and slavery. Good, 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 all the way up to chapter 10. Then something happened. Israel did something in Numbers chapter 11 that changed the trajectory of their lives. So these stories were written as examples for you and me today so that we don't go down that path. Can I hear an amen on that? Okay, so chapter 8. We're going to start with a good part of the story. They're journeying in the wilderness. And when they journey, they need to bring with them the furniture that is in the tabernacle because it's a earthly replica, model, shadow of the real throne of God in heaven. So it starts by talking about the menorah. Numbers chapter 8, verse 1. And the Lord, and notice Lord is capitalized. The Hebrew letters, Yod, He, Vav, He, Yahweh. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron, and say to him, when you arrange the lamps, the seven lamps shall give light in front of the lampstand. And Aaron did so. Aaron's Moses' brother, 3 years older than Moses, and he is also the high priest. So he arranged the lamps to face toward the front of the lampstand, as the Lord commanded Moses. Now, this workmanship of the lampstand was hammered gold. So it's what we would call a menorah, and it's got hammered gold on the outside of it. From its shaft to its flowers, it was hammered work. According to the pattern which the Lord had shown Moses, so he made the lampstand. If you have a pen or pencil, underline the word pattern. Pattern. God is all about patterns. In every area of life, there is a heavenly pattern, and God wants to put his heavenly pattern on the earth. The tabernacle, and the reason that we read about it and study it and learn the furniture of the holy place and the furniture in the Holy of Holies, like the Ark of the Covenant and the cherubim and the mercy seat, is because it's a picture, a window of the magnificent reality of heaven. Amen? There are many patterns and, many ways what we need to bring, heaven to the earth. If in every sphere of life, whether economics, geopolitically, socially, etc., if we would follow the patterns of heaven, there would be glory and there would be kingdom life that would come to us. Amen? So, interesting, the menorah. Now, I want to mention to you, you know what a menorah is? If I say menorah, you can imagine the seven-branch candlestick, right? But did you know that what the menorah really is a picture of? If it's a pattern, what is the menorah a picture of? It's a picture of something. A menorah is a stylized tree. Its middle branch, so it has, these seven lights, but the middle one, the one right down the center, is called the servant branch. And the servant branch, the middle light, is really a picture of the Messiah. You know how in Revelation it says there's the menorah, the seven-branch candlestick, and Jesus stands in the midst. He's the middle one. He is in the very center. Everything points to him. So then you have, so the center branch representing the Messiah, Jesus Christ, to the right are three what are called branches. Branches belong to a tree. And on the other side are three other branches. So there are six branches, which is the number of men. And the seventh is the Messiah, 6 + 1, the perfect number of seven. And what is that tree? Remember when Moses saw a bush tree on fire, and yet the tree was not consumed. That's what the menorah is. And so even before the burning bush, if you were to go all the way back into the Garden of Eden, you would see, if I could somehow bring you in, you know, high-res 3D, get your glasses on, come with me and look at what the Garden of Eden looked like, you would go, because you would immediately recognize, you would see the tree of life looked like a menorah, and it's a tree that is on fire with the glory of God, and it has fruit on it, but it is not consumed. The glorious tree of life. And by the way, in the holy place, which is where all the priests had come, and then at the furthest northern part was the Holy of Holies, these rooms had no windows. They had no natural light. And if you were to go in there, it would be totally pitch dark. The only light that was in the holy place by which the priest could minister was the light that came from the seven flames of the menorah. And it really is a picture of Jesus. So Jesus is the light that emanates from the presence of God. Can I hear an amen on that? So Revelation chapter 4, verse 5 gives us a very interesting perspective. So now we go from the Old Testament with the Israelites to the end of the New Testament. And here's what we read. It's in your notes. Let's read it out loud. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now, I want you to look at that last phrase, the seven spirits of God. That's an unusual phrase. Would you agree? God is one. By the way, I mean, you know, the whole Shema, hear, O Israel, Shema, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The whole point of God calling Abraham out was to say, look, there's only one Most High God, nobody else, I alone created the heavens and the earth and mankind in my image. There is none beside me. So the great, you know, statement of the Jewish people to the end of their lives is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the one true God, is one. But the word for God is Elohim. And Elohim is plural. If you were to translate it literally into English, it would be gods. But the whole point of the passage, obviously, is he's one. But he's one that's plural. How do you explain that? That is not humanly, you know, understandable. It's a mystery. It's divine revelation that God is one. And yet the best way that we can explain it is that there is the Father, who is his own person, who then burns and shines through an emanation of the person of his Son, Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus of Nazareth. And then there is the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit is also God. All the attributes that are given to God the Father are given to Jesus the Son, are given to the Holy Spirit. They're all given the same attributes, and they're all mentioned, and yet they're all one. And the beautiful, and they've existed for eternity. And in this eternal mystery of the three that are one, that are three, that are one, the Father, all he can talk about for all of eternity is his Son. The Father glories in the Son. And you come to the Son, wow, the Father glories in you, and the Son goes, have you seen my dad? He glories in the Father. And then Jesus, the Holy Spirit, says, oh, have you seen the Son? The Holy Spirit lifts up Jesus. And it's like they're all this community, family, oneness, plurality that has existed forever. And after that pattern, God made man and woman, and for them to come together to have a child. A family is three in one as well. So it's very interesting to have all of these things that are brought together. But then it says this very strange thing, the seven spirits of God. How many Holy Spirits are there?
One.
But somehow, again, this is another mystery and another revelation. There's something now that we address just the Spirit of God, that is God, that created all things by the Spirit and the breath, who hovered over the waters and then created everything that we see. There are the seven spirits of God. What does that mean? Well, to describe it, I would say, again, apparently there are patterns and emanations that we come into an understanding in the spiritual realm. As there is a three in one, there is a seven in one in the Holy Spirit. A sevenfold work of the Holy Spirit. Read with me Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, because this is where in the Bible we get a delineation of the Spirit that is one, but then we get a definition that is sevenfold. Let's read it out loud. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Now, for your benefit, I have gone into this verse and underlined the sevenfold definition of the Spirit of the Lord. It's the Spirit of the Lord. There's only one Lord, but there is also a spirit of wisdom. Now, I want to say this because I want to begin to briefly define each one of these seven spirits of the one Holy Spirit. And I'm trying to use limited human language to explain to you supernatural mysteries. But it's something that you need to hear, and I'm planting and depositing a seed in your mind that the Spirit of the Lord will take, and he will develop, and it will form, and it will begin to be revealed to you in time. It's something that God wants us to know and understand. There's only one Lord. And as there is only one Lord, if you have become a believer and accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he is your Lord. There is no other. I mean, we came from him. He's our creator. He's our Lord. And so we honor him and worship him alone. But then there's also the Spirit of wisdom. There is a particular, specialized work of the Spirit of God that is now in your life. There is a divine wisdom. Apparently, one of the seven emanations that is divine and that is unique is divine wisdom, supernatural wisdom. This is not the wisdom of mankind or the accumulation of knowledge of human beings. This is otherworldly. And there was a young man, the son of David, who when he was young and humble, inherited this incredible kingdom. Because in Israel's long history, for a brief period of about 70 years, maybe 80 at the most, Israel was a superpower on the earth. It is when they had a man of heart after God named David. And when David was on the earth, and when he was the king on the throne of Israel, it didn't matter if you were the southern power of Egypt, you feared the land of Israel because of the man David. God is with that guy. Or if you were for the north, Babylon, Persia, whatever, you feared. It was a brief period where they were a superpower. And then David, because he couldn't build the tabernacle or the temple of the Lord, his blood was on his hands, he set it all up for his son, and his son inherits this incredible spiritual journey that God took David from the sheepfold, and now he's the man after God's own heart, writes all these psalms and supernatural things that happen, and killing the giant and establishing Israel as a superpower. And Solomon says, oh God, God appears to him because he's the king, and he says, Solomon, you are the king, therefore I talk to you personally. Ask me what you will, and I will give it to you because you are the son of David, because you are the king of Israel, and I am the God of this people. What do you want? And Solomon, shaking and trembling, as a young man in humility and honesty, he made a great choice. He said, I need wisdom. Wisdom that I, as a young man, don't have to oversee all of this great people and all of the riches you have deposited with us. I need divine wisdom. And God said, I'm going to give it to you. and wisdom came from heaven. Solomon, his mind exploded. I don't know how to describe this. This is not mere intellect. It is not mere genius or, you know, IQ we're talking about. We're talking about a three-dimensional divine download where he just sat and could just write Proverbs all day long. Wisdom. He understood math and science and nature and everything, and God gave him In fact, his wisdom was so divine and so powerful, it didn't just impact Israel, but leaders from other nations in the world at that time said, "Have you heard of the wisdom of Solomon?" And they would put an entourage and travel from the ends of the earth, like the Queen of Sheba, just to sit at his feet and listen to the guy talk, something the world had never seen or known before. Now, Solomon should have asked for a few more of the spirits of the Lord because he got into a lot of trouble and made a lot of mistakes later. But he did have that divine download of wisdom. And then the spirit of understanding, not natural understanding. God can give to you, through the Holy Spirit, divine understanding. This is when the spirits work within you. You understand situations. You understand people. You see things that even the leaders and those who are empowered, they don't see. It's divine understanding. The spirit of counsel. How many of you are in situations or at times, and then, you know, we get all tense, and we're like, "Oh man, I need counsel. I need wisdom. I need to know what to do." How awesome would it be to be able to just tap and say, "I got counsel from the throne of God"? How awesome. That's possible. And then might means power. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit, talk about the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, you shall receive power. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Greek word is dunamis. We get our English word dynamite from it, but really the idea is not dynamite per se. It just, they use dynamite because they said it's like dunamis. It's like explosive. God wants to bring the power that created the universe. Just speak it, and it is so. It's downloaded by the Spirit. What I want to say to you is, the same Holy Spirit that came upon Solomon or that came upon David now as a believer has come inside of you. And it is available to all of us. The spirit of knowledge, divine knowledge about, you know, things that you go, "I don't even know how I know this. I just know this." You look at people and you know things about them. You look at situations and you just know it's because the Holy Spirit and the fear of the Lord. Ooh, the Holy Spirit is so mighty and he's so powerful and he's God and he's taken residence within your heart. But I want to say this at the same time, the Holy Spirit is the easiest person to ignore. He is the ears. You can just go like this and flick him away because there's no one more gentle or soft or still. He just whispers, "Go this way." And it's easy to go, "Nah, I don't want to, no, I'm not doing that." And we go our own way. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. And I really believe that we grieve the Holy Spirit. He gives little whispers, little gents, little nuts. "No, no, no, not that, that. Oh, son, don't go that. No, go this way." And sometimes we listen, sometimes we don't. What I want to share with you is that even now, here I am, as Pastor Ray of the Maranatha, at this time, at this hour, at this season of my life, and I am coming into a whole new awareness and understanding that dwelling inside of me, in my heart, is not only my spirit, but there I am experiencing another personality that has all of that that is inside of me. It's like heaven itself is in my heart, and there are whole new ways that I can yield to it and enter into a partnership and friendship and closeness and relationship and intimacy with the Holy Spirit to literally let heaven and all of the seven spirits of God flow in and through my life. Anybody interested in following me on that journey? It's amazing. There is a sevenfold work of the Holy Spirit that he wants to do in all of our lives. And some of us have narrowed it down. I'll let him work in these two areas, but we've got five others that God wants to add. And I believe it is outlined clearly here in Isaiah chapter 11. I want to say something else about seven, just briefly. I'm going to just throw it in. Basically, there are seven colors to the rainbow. When you see a rainbow, And I want you to know that one of the things when we actually are in heaven and see heaven, and by the way, you can go to heaven before you actually are in heaven. Because the Bible says that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, not tomorrow, but right here, right now. And whatever the Bible describes of the heavenly reality, we can by faith enter into. When we pray, we literally are in heaven and we're before the throne, and it's all described, the whole scene that is before us there. And one of the things that when you are in heaven and the beauty of heaven and the glory of the throne of God, and it won't be golden cherubim, it will be real cherubim, and you will see them shimmering, and the only way to probably describe their garments is that they're like precious stones, diamonds, rubies, emeralds, sapphires, and then shimmering in absolute pure light and glory. And then the thing that you'll recognize about the throne of God is, you'll go, wow! Look at that rainbow. Did you know the Bible says around the throne of God is a rainbow? It is in the natural that God has allowed. It's like he took a piece of the heavenly throne room and put it on the earth every time it ends with a rain. And he says, I made a promise, I'll never destroy the world by flood again. And it's like he puts heaven and the throne there. See, I keep my covenants and my promises. Now, we live, unfortunately, in a time where part of our society has grabbed the rainbow and taken it against what God's word says for community and plurality and marriage and relationship, and then proudly claim it. And so now sometimes we're like, well, I guess it's theirs. I want to just say, no, we need to reclaim the rainbow. The rainbow belongs to God, and it belongs to the people of God. And there's nothing wrong with using rainbows or looking at rainbows or loving rainbows or displaying rainbows. All seven colors. And those seven basic colors and combinations of them turn into myriads of other colors. But when they all begin to transpose and you put them all together fast, they all blur, the seven colors turn into brilliant white light, which is the Shekinah glory of God.
Fascinating insights today from Pastor Ray Bentley about the seven colors of the rainbow. Seven, a reoccurring number in Scripture with important lessons to teach us. Now, you can hear today's message again on CD. It's a study called Where It All Went Wrong. And we can send it to you for just $7. Contact us here at Maranatha Radio and mention the title, Where It All Went Wrong. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Numbers on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available your latest book, The Holy Land Key. I recently read a review, and it said the book leaves you wanting more. This person spoke of how captivating it is to go behind the scenes in biblical prophecy. They said they were stunned.
You know, that was my personal experience. You know, after studying the Bible and knowing generally about prophecy for many years, God began to open up whole new layers of understanding of the past, of the biblical feasts, and of their relevance to the church today. And I was on fire, excited. I couldn't wait to write the book. And it's really exciting to see people reading it and seeing what I've seen, learning what I learned, and then getting on fire. And that's why I can't wait for people to read it and to learn these new things. I think it's going to really change their perspective and open their eyes in some ways they can't even imagine.
And this will reveal what we see reported in the news every day in a whole new light, won't it?
It will. I think that it puts an exclamation point on the things that we keep getting jolted by as we watch what's happening. These are the very signs and patterns that Jesus said are indications the kingdom is on its way.
All right. We'll find out more in Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key, available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. To get a copy, write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127, or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in the book of Numbers. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.